Alan wa salam, listeners. For the 2014 season finale, Formula One takes a magic carpet ride to the Persian Gulf and an island off of the Arabian Peninsula. Our host city, Abu Dhabi, is the capital of the United Arab Emirates and held its first Grand Prix here in 2009, becoming the first event to race from day to night, and has served as the final race of the year ever since. On the man-made Yas Island, which is less than 10 square miles, the Yas Marina Circuit contains 21 corners and features running through the stunning Viceroy Hotel. At stake here is the World Drivers Championship. At pole is Nico Rosberg, who wants to follow in father KK Rosberg's steps and become champion. Next to him is teammate Lewis Hamilton, who won by 1 point in 2008 and leads the points going into this Grand Prix. The double points ruling for this last race computes to the fact that Nico needs to win this race to take the championship, and Lewis just needs to get second to win it all. These pair of Mercedes-Benz drivers were teammates and rivals since age 12 and have come full circle and down to the wire. Will the chassis hold up to this explosive finale? Who will come out on top of this head-to-head race to the end, and who won't? Open up a bottle of non-alcoholic sparkling beverage and stay tuned, weeklies. This is Desiree, signing off for the 2014 season till we meet again. And this is your F1 Weekly Abu Dhabi Racecast. Masalam.
The Reynolds, who have not finished races well in the past, are going to do it today. Here they come another time.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program.
I've been an F1 fan for years.
F1Weekly.com podcast.
We're going to do tire changes maybe next year. I think we can.
Hi, this is Desiree. I'm your fabulous, fierce female Formula One fan.
Fisichella, bravo!
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 669, December 4th, 2014. Nasser?
Welcome to the season finale podcast. Magic carpet has been rolled out in Brackley for Britain's newest double world champion. Back to you, Mr. Rogers, the genie of podcasting.
Thank you. On today's program, don't forget to get your 2015 F1 calendar from the F1 Weekly merchandise page. McLaren, what's going on with this decision-making? Is Jos Verstappen getting his revenge? And Rubinho is crowned world champion. Stay tuned for Motorsports Mondial with the King. And we've got 50 words from the F1 Weekly Forum on the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix that happened so long ago. Nasser, welcome to the studio. How are you?
Very good, sir. Thank you. I do have a question to ask you, please. A season without a win for Nando. Do we have a pulse in San Jose?
The pulse? We've had to get out the big guns, clear, boom, to get back the pulse. But yes, we will survive. It's been a tough season. Of course, all year, the DNF chapel was manned by Guido Sarducci. Therefore, nothing but trouble. But of course, you must be a happy man. I know you love Lewis Hamilton. He's fast, he's quick, and he's now double world champion.
Well, Nicole is the person who really loves him, but I do love the racer in LCH, just as I loved the racer in Kimi Raikkonen in his McLaren days.
I understand. I understand.
Talking of McLaren, I think it was the early days of a podcast called F1 Weekly when Fernando Alonso switched from Renault to McLaren, and your mantra at that time was he was going to the dark side.
Absolutely. The evil.
Do you still feel the same, sir?
Well, no, because now they're not going to be anchored with Mercedes, and they will be back with Honda, and we know what they say about Honda. You meet the nicest people on a Honda, which will be Fernando Alonso. But we're still waiting for the official announcement. Hamilton Jenson Button is somewhat perturbed by this lack of decision-making.
Yeah, it's kind of strange it has gone so long. I mean, if it was concerning Alonso, we can understand. But that Gato is already out of the bag. So I don't know what the deal is. I have a feeling that maybe McLaren is trying to hang on to Jensen and trying to farm out K-Mag to some other team. And you, with Marussia and Caterham gone, what that team could be.
Not only that, but this is the modern era. It's not the old days anymore. And I think that Jensen and Kevin were at this meeting today. At this meeting, there were blank checks left on the tables. And Jensen and Kevin were supposed to fill those out as a contribution to their career. And maybe nothing happened. The checks are still blank. It could also be sponsorship from drivers contributing to the team. As we know, McLaren doesn't have the sponsorship they used to have. Okay, we saw SAP on the side of the car. We know that Scotch whiskey is still involved. But I don't know. This is really bizarre. I don't think I've ever seen a decision drawn on till the end of the year.
Yeah, this is very strange, especially with the new partner, Honda, coming on. And, you know, long before the season ended, I was told by some reliable sources that Honda insisted on Nando or some other big name. And you really cannot get bigger than Nando when it comes to today's Formula One. But it will be interesting, you know. Normally people are saying it will be Kevin Magnussen who will get the ride because of his age, and he's been pretty quick and he is the future. But I think they have a lot of experience and still a lot of speed in JB. So it will be an interesting decision.
It will be a very interesting decision. And to be honest with you, either way, there's logic to the decision. You see what I'm saying? There's no bad decision to make.
And, you know, I try to put two and two together in my own mystical way. If JB could run with LCH, there is no reason why he cannot run with FA.
Well, I'm telling you, he's made that perfectly clear in the last few months, saying that he's not scared of F&A.
Yeah, that'll be interesting.
It's going to be very interesting. 2015 is going to be interesting, and I think you never know. Honda could be at the top. Renault could be at the top.
No, I'll be very surprised if Honda is at the top. What do you think about Sebastian Vettel, a German driver in a red car?
Oh, that was, well, we're used to seeing a German driver in a red car. It was a good match. They're happy. Vettel's happy. He didn't look happy. And having to have to test that 2012 ugly car, I mean, the front end of that 2012 Ferrari is just terrible.
Yeah, but, you know, if the car is quick, he's going to be smiling and showing us that numero uno finger.
Well, we'll see. We'll see if the car is quick.
Yeah.
But I don't see them driving at the front of the spear for a couple more years. But still, Sebastian Vettel, I think this is a right move for him. He wanted to go to the most famous Formula One team, the one with the most history, the je ne sais quoi, you know, and free spaghetti.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I think he's good friends with Niki Lauda, so he might send him a can of, you know, Chef Boyardee's spaghetti.
Or uh-oh, spaghetti-o.
Yeah.
I know. But so there you have it. But, you know, the world championship was exciting, But let's talk about Abu Dhabi, the last race, the double points.
Well, I'm so glad double points nonsense has been dropped for 2015. You know, this Abu Dhabi Grand Prix, starting late in the evening, early evening and then ending at nighttime, I think it's a pretty nice way to end the season.
Yes, it's like walking into the sunset.
Yes. And,
no.
And some careers do the same in Abu Dhabi.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, I think Abu Dhabi, I'm used to Brazil being the last race, so this I can get used to Abu Dhabi. That's fine. But speaking of nonsense, I'm stunned that the Korean Grand Prix is back for 2015.
Okay, you know, I saw that also. Is it at a different venue or same location? I haven't checked on that.
Well, I think it's going to be in the Gangnam style.
Gangnam style.
Yes, Gangnam.
Yeah.
Yes, it's going to be in that neighborhood.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah. So.
Well, the good thing is we're going to have like, what, 21 races now?
21 races. I think there's going to, everybody gets an extra motor. But what, you know, Marussia's gone. You think Caterham's going to be back?
I'll be shocked.
I mean, they've been given the chance to use last year's car for 2015, which is fine. I don't have a problem with stuff like that. We should be doing more, you know, use last year's motor, you know, and blah, 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 blah.
Well, you know, that's, I've always thought, you know, if they want to reduce cost, why don't they use the same car for two seasons?
Or three or four seasons.
Yeah, there you go.
No.
Or 20 seasons like NASCAR.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know, it was a fantastic season. You know, I really enjoyed it. And a great new champion has been crowned. And, you know, to win more than twice the races as this challenger who happens to be your teammate, I mean, that's a very impressive feat. And I tell you, I've always said, you know, if you're going to have issues, gremlins and keblamos, better have them in the first few races. Because if you're having it in the late going, it can be very, very costly.
Should I text Nico Rosberg now or should I wait for a little while?
No, you can text him now. And I just think of that, you know, spin Mark Webber had in talking of Korea in Korean Grand Prix in the rain when he was chasing, I believe, Alonso. And that pretty much sank his championship hopes. You remember that?
And he's still flipping about it today.
Yes, and talking of, in more than one way. And talking of Webber, we witnessed the curse of Webber at Red Bull, where Mr. Vettel had his cage rattled. And from the amazing but true folder, we have a Grand Prix now in Leningradsky, and something straight from Ripley's Believe It or Not. Nando and Ron Dennis having Darjeeling ginger tea in Woking.
It's possible. I think Nando might be pouring a little Tio Pepe in there.
Ah, Tio Pepe reminds me of the 1986 Spanish Grand Prix and the last run to the checkered flag.
There you have it. But no, we're still waiting. See, that's the whole thing is, you know, we're waiting for the announcement. We're waiting for the photo op of Nando and Ron Dennis in loving embrace.
Yes. And I think that physio who was doing the countdown in Hungary, I think he should be doing a countdown to how long they hug each other.
Oh, I think that he's doing a countdown right now. But the whole thing is interesting. And, of course, we know that Nando is managed by Flavio. Bravo, 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 bravo. So Flavio is going to be involved. Nando, Ron Dennis. You know, they say you can never go back home, but this is going to be intriguing.
Yeah, especially with Flavio involved.
Absolutely. And not only that, but nobody's really talked about the livery of the car, depending on the sponsorship, what Nando brings, is Santander back in town? I mean, there's a lot of interesting stuff here that we don't know about, and they're dragging it on. I don't know, there's something going on. I mean, is it Honda's fault that we're not getting a decision? I think there's some infighting that we don't know about because, you know, it's very secretive inside that big Woking tomb.
Yeah, and, you know, with Honda as the engine supplier and a very serious effort, I expect some white and red from the Japanese flag to be on the car.
I would expect that too, but of course, dollars are going to be involved, so we'll see what the final livery will be. Now, what were your thoughts on the McLaren Honda testing? A lot of gremlins, a lot of electrical problems, a few laps, not much happening. Did you come up with anything good about that?
Well, you know, having witnessed these cars in January at Jerez with Dr. Miguel, and, you know, I remember saying that it sounded like an, you know, Chernobyl nuclear station with all these noises and bells and whistles. So Honda, the head of Honda Motorsports or Formula One program, he took comfort in saying that while other teams had the same issues on the first day. So, yeah, maybe. But I'm sure in due course of, I don't expect him to win the first race. You know, Adrian Reynard is not CEO of Honda in Japan. But I think it will take them time, but they will come through and win some races sooner or later. That's for sure.
Absolutely. With Fernando, are you kidding? It's going to be exciting.
Yes.
Wow.
It will be fantastic. And I'm sure he's going to pull some incredible wins like he did with Ferrari. And but if he can win his first race with Honda McLaren, oh boy, what a statement that would be.
That would be fantastic. Yeah. That's what we need. We need that excitement. Bernie wants that. So, no, very good stuff. Well, let's talk about Abu Dhabi. Nico Rosberg comes out and gets pole position in qualifying. You know, he gets the pole position award, which is really more ceremonial than anything else. Maybe we should give points for pole position.
Well, I'll tell you, to achieve that feat against Lewis Hamilton as a teammate, that is very, very impressive.
It is very impressive. A lot of people thought that Lewis Hamilton was definitely going to beat him in pole positions, and it turned out not to be true. I think, how many did he get? 11?
Yeah, something like that. But LCH made the statement in number of wins where it really matters.
Absolutely. And boy, those gremlins, boy, did they rear their ugly head or what?
And I had a feeling, you know, I just could not see. Lewis Hamilton, with all his great talent, he is not the kind of driver who's going to drive in second place so he can win the championship. And I had an inkling that something will happen to one of the cars and that will decide the championship. But if this gremlin had hit Lewis's car, for him to lose this championship with so many wins, that would have been pretty pathetic.
It would have been pretty pathetic. And I'm sure Mercedes would have been pretty disgusted about it. But in the end, Nico Rosberg turns out to get the gremlins. And everybody's happy with that. In the end, they didn't want the German to win after all.
Yeah.
And don't forget, all of this was scripted. Remember?
Oh, yes. No matter what happens, there is some sort of agenda going on somewhere.
Exactly. So, but no, I enjoyed the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix because, you know what? In the end, the double points meant absolutely nothing. I was happy to see Caterham, maybe their last race ever. We don't know. I thought that their choice of drivers, I was glad that Kamui Kobayashi was chosen. But what was up with the Will Stevens?
Yeah, let me tell you about Will Stevens, Clark, and this is how the business of motor racing is. Some years ago, I was at Monza around the paddock area. And I was walking with somebody who was involved in karting, and this person stopped to talk to some young kid sitting on a pit wall with dark glasses, looking very cool. And I stayed away, and after the conversation was done between these two people, I said, "Who is this guy?" And he said, "Oh, this is Will Stevens. He is really great in karting, and for sure he will make it in Formula One." Well, Will Stevens was a big name in karting, but has not been able to translate his success in single-seater racing. He has spent a few seasons in World Series by Renault. Quick, but, you know, if you're quick, then, you know, how quick are you? Are you as quick as Jean-Éric Vergne or LCH or, you know, Max Verstappen? So it's been quite a journey for him to get here, but, you know, good for him.
No, I was happy for him except for one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Into the race, he was 7 seconds behind Kamui Kobayashi.
Wow. Yeah, but he did a decent job. He kept, you know, he did not do things.
I know. He didn't do a crashado or anything like that. But still, you got to keep up with your teammate.
Yeah.
So I don't think we'll be seeing Will Stevens again.
Well, Papito is deep pocket, so you never know.
I know. So anyway, that was my thought. I thought that was strange, but it's not like Caterham was about to make a big leap forward in anything, really. I mean, they're in big trouble, and I'm hoping that they're back next year. Now, what did you think about the start of Abu Dhabi? Because I was absolutely blown away how Lewis Hamilton passed Nico Rosberg and was off while Nico was already struggling with a terrible start. The karma was just gone from Nico.
Yeah, and LCH called his start probably the best ever, saying it was like having a rocket behind him.
Yeah.
As soon as he got the lead, it was, you know, these days if you get the jump at the start, you stay there unless there's an issue. I just had a very strong feeling that this guy's going to win the race, and if that happens, it's all over for Nico.
As soon as I saw that start from Lewis Hamilton, I just talked to myself, I'm going, well, okay, it looks like Lewis wants to win this one.
Yeah, but no, I mean, you remember Nigel Mansell's tire blowing up, closing stages. So many things can go wrong with pit stop, and you know, you can be stuck behind a driver who is vitalized, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And lose the championship.
Absolutely. No, it was interesting. Of course, we have to talk about Felipe Massa. You know, a lot of us thought that once he got hit in the head with Rubinho's shock absorber, that we would never, you know, he'd never be the same. You know, I don't want to get into, Cristiano D'Amato or something like that. But Felipe Massa, for a while there, just couldn't do it. And in this last race, in these last few races, especially behind the wheel of the Williams, he's really come alive. On lap 13, Felipe Massa is leading this Grand Prix.
Yeah, and that Williams looks pretty good in the martini colors.
You think that's what does it?
I think so.
Yeah.
It's
hey,
weird, you know.
Hey, color is everything. I'm telling you, not only that, but I think they also have a feng shui dude at Williams to make sure everything is flowing in the right direction. Very interesting. Daniel Kvyat, unfortunately, who wanted to impress on the last race, but he doesn't really need to. He's got a race seat. He's done. He's signed and delivered. He retires for the afternoon on lap 17. Spun out, you know, blah, blah, blah. Lots of problems. Nico Rosberg is struggling. Lap 19, Hamilton is maintaining that gap, and it's all very straightforward from what I can see. But Rosberg on lap 19 has posted the fastest lap with a 1:46.869. So far, he's starting to get it together. It's interesting. What did you think about this part of the Grand Prix?
Well, the championship was safe for Lewis as long as he stayed on the track, regardless of Nico passing him or not.
Correct.
She was going to be, will the car last the Arabian sand and the evening heat or whatever they have there.
Yeah. Well, the big problem starts on lap 25 when Nico Rosberg says he's losing engine power.
I like when he says, "Very please advise."
Yes, please advise. That's what I put on the at the bottom of my emails.
Yeah.
Please advise, Mr. Hamid.
Yes.
So, no, obviously, his electrical recovery system has failed once again. I don't know. And good news, Pastor Maldonado and Romain Grosjean have been signed for Lotus for next year. I'm sure you were thrilled to that.
Yeah, you know, money talks.
Of course. I mean, it's, you know, at least they're going to have the Mercedes, so they could be up there. Things are going to be bizarre because with Vettel at Ferrari, and we know Ferrari's going to be struggling, it could be Mercedes, Williams, Lotus F1, and Red Bull.
You know, what is scaring me, last year when the engine was first fired, you know, on a dyno and all that, everybody was talking about Mercedes as the best engine. And at that time, Renault engine had not even come out. And, of course, they have a lot of experience in turbo power, as we all know. So this was quite a surprise, Mercedes dominating so strongly. Now the media is saying that they may be even more powerful next year.
Yeah, they could be more powerful. But trust me, that'll just be the Mercedes team Lotus F1 will be getting the secondhand engines. Now, one thing I did not like, and you could tell things of, you know, let me put it this way. Nobody's working very, very hard at Lotus F1 right now. Now that they know Renault's out, Mercedes is in. Of course, we saw Grachado's big kablamo with the flames coming out of the car. Very, very exciting.
Yeah. That's the most spotlight he got this year.
Exactly. But I didn't like the Lotus mechanics laughing and giggling and snickering in the garage.
Well, do you think they were laughing at Pastor or Renault engine?
I don't know. I think everybody's been laughing at Pastor. Maybe just, you think it's just me?
Yeah, but you know, if you put Pastor in today's Mercedes, he'll win a few races.
And I say that every day.
Yeah.
You put Pastor Maldonado in Denny Hamlin's car, he's going to win races. So, I don't know. But I didn't like the snickering. I really, really didn't like that. Lap 30, Nico Rosberg's mechanical issues are continuing. And, of course, Valtteri Bottas, another fine young man, is closing in. I enjoyed this race. I liked watching. You could tell the Williams were going to finish. It was good fun to watch them. Of course, we had both Red Bulls, we haven't mentioned this, that were disqualified from qualifying and had to start from the pit lane. What did you think about that? And remember the flexi wing.
Yeah, you know, there's always some sort of a issue coming up. And I thought, you know, this is the final race. They are out of contention. Let's just go. I was on the Daryl Waltrip program. Boogity, boogity, boogity. Let's go racing, boys.
Yeah, you know what? I was actually surprised, too, that the stewards were so, well, fuddy. You know, they were like sourpusses. I couldn't believe it. The last race, the world championship is just about two guys up front. Why have Red Bull start in the pits? So I thought that was bizarre, especially for Vettel's last race with the team, you know, but I don't know. Maybe it's just me. After 36 laps, though, we had Felipe Massa, Lewis Hamilton, Daniel Ricciardo, who did an outstanding job racing up the field. Of course, he hadn't pitted yet then, but it is what it is. Valtteri Bottas in fourth, Sergio Perez, Nico Hülkenberg, both Force Indias looking good, and Nico Rosberg in seventh. Rosberg is not happy on lap 37. He says, "What the hell can I do to get fifth?" And the reply was, "Well, Nico, just go flat out, boy." So, And the other thing, remember a couple months ago I heard that the radio talk was supposed to be cut down to just important information?
Yes.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, it was chit-chat, tease, and crumpet.
Yes, but I did like Nico's spirit, you know, when they asked him to
Fox,
he said, you know, he wanted to keep going.
Oh, yes, okay. Chivalry. Is that what that was?
Yeah.
And why would they tell him to park the car? It's the last race of the season. There's nothing to save. They were afraid maybe that if there was a kablamo, bad PR for Mercedes, and they're selfish people. But in the end, I thought that it was bizarre that they wanted him to end the race, and I was glad that Nico wanted to finish, being that, you know, KK was waiting for him in the woodshed.
KK encouraged his son to, according to Nico, to play some mind games and do some tough talk before the start of the race. You got to do it on the track in a race car.
I understand. Poor Nico, towards the end of lap 42, things are getting worse. He's asking the team, guys, what's going on? And it's brutal. Jenson Button passes him. It is what it is, but still, I'm happy for Lewis Hamilton. We're going to get this over with. On lap 45, it's Lewis Hamilton, Felipe Massa, Daniel Ricciardo, Valtteri Bottas, Vettel, Jenson Button, and Nico Rosberg in seventh. Yeah, so I guess it's admirable how Rosberg dealt with the problems, continued in the race. You know, he could have been more frustrated. You know, Fernando can get frustrated and get mad and evil and angry.
No, he took the fight to LCH, which is, you know, not an easy task. and came pretty close to winning the championship. He surprised me in a lot of races, frankly speaking, including the Brazilian Grand Prix.
Even, you know, Nico Rosberg, I mean, he lost gracefully, let's put it this way.
Yeah, and he kept his chin up and good attitude, and he was cool under pressure. But, you know, frankly speaking, with Lewis winning the championship now, it's going to give him a lot of confidence. And I think that other things remaining same, Nico Rosberg will have a hard time winning a championship with LCH as teammate.
But the only thing is, Nico Rosberg is lucky because LCH likes to spend a lot of time in L.A.
Yeah, L.A. or P.A. is, you know, it's fine. And we all talked about this when he was not winning. But this time, you know, I mean, you don't win more than twice as many races as your teammate just so you look cool, you know. I mean, this guy is very good talent. Just ask your hero, Nando.
I understand. But on the other hand, I believe that most of the drivers in Formula One are very talented.
Oh, there's no question about it.
Yes, yeah. You don't get the F1 being a bad driver. So, but no, Lewis Hamilton has done an outstanding job. Let's not forget, though, a lot of the congratulations need to go to the package.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, it's not just the Mercedes power, but their whole package was outstanding.
At one time, they had so many chiefs there. It was amazing. But, you know the now we see the results.
Yes. No, absolutely outstanding job by Mercedes. It's very, very interesting. Now, were you impressed with Prince Harry hanging around first with Red Bull and then at the end, you know, talking to Lewis Hamilton?
Oh, Britain is proud of you, LCH.
Yes, he's a legend. He's a legend. I mean, they were pouring it on. And all I could, the only thing I could think of was, oh, my God, what is Autosport's cover going to look like now? I mean, it's really the Hamilton fan club.
Oh, wait till you see today's edition.
I did see today's edition. Oh, my goodness.
No, but I mean, check this out, man. LCH is the fourth British driver to win more than one world championship, and that's the first since Jackie Stewart in 1971. His 33rd victory makes him, and keep in mind, this guy just came in 2007. But again, we have a lot of races these days. Victory number 33 takes him on the fifth on the all-time win list. That's very, very impressive.
I agree. No, absolutely. It was a great, you know, and the interesting part is he went to Mercedes, leaving McLaren at exactly the right time. And everybody knows it in Formula One. Timing is everything, and you could talk to a lot of people like Nico Hülkenberg. Being at the right place at the right time can change your life.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And so, interestingly, Mercedes Power, talking about the package, they took pole position for every race, and this is the first time since 1969 when the Ford DFV powered all the cars that started from the top of the grid. So quite a season for Star of Stuttgart, based in Brackley, England.
Absolutely. No, it's great stuff. I'm very impressed. And like Sebastian Vettel said last year, enjoy it while it lasts, because it's not going to last forever.
Yeah, sure. And you know what was interesting? The season started with, in Australia with Lewis on pole, but his teammate won the race because of technical issues on Lewis's car. And in the final race in Abu Dhabi, Nico starts from pole and his teammate wins the race.
Yeah.
History repeating itself in reverse.
Yes. No, very interesting. I mean, and I'm going to have to put up with this onslaught of Hamilton mania for months to come. I know I just have to take it. I'm thick-skinned. Trust me, I can take it. And I say, but still too much. I know I do. I want to see Fernando back at the front.
Yeah, but, you know, I have to say that Lewis winning was not a surprise, okay? But the guy who really, really impressed me was the man who set the fastest lap in Abu Dhabi. Fastest lap in Abu Dhabi, Aussie-made Daniel Ricciardo. I mean, that is to win three races against Sebastian Vettel, who got zero in his own, you know, the team built around him. That's a mega, mega Vegemite sandwich achievement.
I agree, especially doing it in a mediocre Red Bull.
Yeah.
No, very impressive stuff. He's got a little Fernando in him, and I appreciate that. So, in the end, very exciting, but we're going to have to put up with a lot of this. Now, as you know, the Autosports.com awards party is going to be happening. Of course, we know who's going to get all the awards. My interesting point bringing this up is, do you know who is sponsoring the award?
Let me guess, Mercedes-Benz?
Exactly!
Ciao!
I mean, holy Toledo, they're sponsoring it and they're getting the awards. I mean, if you're going to dominate, why not dominate all the way? I already see him marching down the Champs-Élysées again.
Yeah, Mercedes, you know, a lot of people don't know. It's a very big vehicle manufacturer. They also own Freightliner Trucking Company in this country.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, and some years ago, they bought, it's been quite a few years now, they bought the truck division of Ford Motor Company also. So that's a huge, huge corporation.
Yes. No, I agree. It's very, very huge. They're very, very successful. They have a lot of money. They're the biggest budget in Formula One right now.
Yeah, which is very interesting.
It's a huge budget. I mean, these guys knew what they had to do. They wrote the check, and they won.
Yeah.
Unlike Toyota, who wrote the check and didn't win.
Yeah, but they did get Schumacher.
They did get Ralf Schumacher, and I love Ralf Schumacher.
They got the half Schumacher, but paid him the full price.
Exactly. They screwed up, and that shows that half Schumacher's manager really knew what he was doing.
Oh, absolutely.
Very impressive stuff.
I remember one day reading when Ralf went to Toyota that Willy Weber has convinced Toyota that he is as quick as Michael.
Yep. And speaking of Michael Schumacher, we love him. Hope he has a great holiday this month. But, you know, as you know, Carlos Sainz Jr. has been signed to partner Max Verstappen. Do you think that Carlos Sainz Jr. teaming up with we'll be doing this all year next year, with Max could be a big mistake?
No, I don't think so. But I'll tell you what's going to happen here, okay? Both these kids have a good pedigree, okay? But I have a feeling that, and you know who, one of them will emerge as the top dog by mid-season, and Max will make history in Melbourne when he becomes the youngest F1 driver at the age of 17, which is 2 years younger than the current youngest driver man put on Boulevard of Broken Dreams by Dr. Marco, Jaime Alguersuari. And, you know, talking of Max's 17 years of age, FIA has now passed a law that the minimum age to get a F1 license is 18. So Max's history will stand now for a very long, long time. But, you know, I have a feeling what's going to happen here is it's going to be a dog-eat-dog world at Toro Rosso. I have a feeling that Max will prevail.
I know you have that feeling, and that's why I call it Jos Verstappen's revenge.
Yeah.
Because he teamed up with Michael Schumacher, which killed Verstappen's career, basically. So he finally gets to get it back. I think it's exciting, but he will live vicariously through Max.
Yeah, and I met him in Vegas a couple of years ago and at Nürburgring last August. A very nice, simple kid, very dedicated. And I know Max, his father has had some issues, but, you know, you can just see how much he also wants his flesh and blood to succeed. So it's good, you know.
No, it's good.
And it's story. This is a fantastic story, just like Lewis Hamilton in 2007. And, you know, we wish everybody all the best and safe motor racing. And it's incredible to see talent. You know, Clark, what is so incredibly amazing, and I'm not going to take any names, but there are many, many drivers who are very good, very talented, won championships in Europe in the last 4 or 5 years, knocking on the door of Formula One for a few years, World Series Barreno a few years, GP2 a few years, Formula 3 2-3 years. And here comes this young kid, first year of motor racing, straight from karting to Formula 3, and he wins more races than anybody in the season. I mean, you got to admire that.
I admire it. I'm excited about it. I'm pumped up. This is why I love Formula One. So No, it's good, but I think it's going to be interesting how obviously Max Verstappen has a lot of confidence, willpower, he's very talented. I mean, people are saying he's Senna-esque. So I'm very interested to see how Sainz Jr., who is probably a pretty tough kid, you know, I mean, growing up in a racing family, this is going to be a great thing to watch at Toro Rosso. Toro Rosso is always intriguing. So it's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, and we've interviewed Carlos Sainz Jr. a few times. Also, very, very nice kid and has good racing achievements. So it did be a fantastic season. And, you know, talking of McLaren drivers, I don't know if you saw this on Saturday before the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix. Ex-McLaren driver Martin Brundle, who is now a TV pundit, he tried to get the lineup for the next season from Ron Dennis, asking among three drivers, Button, Magnussen, and Alonso, who will have Honda power behind them. And it was interesting. Ron said that to Brundle that he should expand his vision and imagine selecting the lineup from four drivers, which has now fueled speculation that this Belgian kid, Stoffel Vandoorne, may be in running also. He is a McLaren-supported driver and finished this year's Haas as the top rookie and second overall in the championship. I think he won four races, which is an incredible achievement in your first year of Haas. So there is a lot of talent coming through the system, you know.
Yeah, no, I agree. And it continues to be interesting. And a lot of the biggest problem is, though, as that new talent comes into the system, there's a lot of talent leaving the system.
Yeah, but there's a different level of talent that's leaving the system.
Exactly.
Like they say, he did not retire from motor racing. Motor racing retired him.
Okay, let me text Jean-Éric Vergne for...
No, Jean-Éric Vergne, you know, he just ran out of time. And I think this is a very good talent. He's not trying to get into Indy cars.
Yes, I know. And let's not forget, hey, there's plenty of good stuff out there. The World Endurance Championship seems to be attracting a lot of talent. The manufacturers like it. Porsche finally got their first win. Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of stuff out there to do. And I was very impressed with Nico Hülkenberg seeking out and getting a ride in 24 Heures du Mans.
Yeah, and they're saying that his partner may be Fernando Alonso.
Machismo! You know why?
Yeah.
He wants to learn from the best.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
No, I'd love to see Fernando in 24 Hours of Le Mans. That's really machismo racing.
Yeah. Do you remember our departed friend from Ferrari, Luca di Montezemolo? He would every now and then talk about Ferrari will look at sports car racing. I tell you this. If Ferrari bails out of Formula One and goes to sports car racing, Formula One will survive and succeed, but sports car racing will be as big as Formula One as it used to be in the 70s.
I agree with that. It could be very, very exciting. So, no, we'll see. But Luca Montezemolo is not making any decisions anymore.
Yes, he will be making for Alitalia pretty soon.
But at least we've got a Marlboro man at the head of the helm.
Oh, yeah, Mr. Maurizio Arrivabene.
Arriva bene.
Yeah.
Our
hipster, Marco Mattiacci, is the latest victim of Sergio Marchionne's machete. And like you said, he's been replaced by Mr. Arsenio Arrivabene, who used to be the Marlboro man. My understanding is that Marlboro still pays big money to Ferrari for advertising space on cars, and then they resell the space to companies that are permitted to advertise in sports. Say hello to UPS and Santander and Kaspersky's of the world. And, you know, I heard a very interesting rumor that when UPS complained to Ferrari, they were not getting the exposure they were expecting. Our man Luca di Montezemolo told them, we'll put a tracer on it.
Keep up the good work, Nasser. Well, let's wrap this up with some numbers. I know you love numbers. You're a numbers man.
Yeah, just take a look at the championship, final championship tally. LCH, 384 points. Nico, his teammate, 317. Danny Boy was third, 238. Fantastic achievement. Bottas, another impressive performance. He was fourth, 186 points. Sebastian Vettel, or as you would call Vettel, 167. Nando, 161. Felipe Baby, 134. And I'm happy that Felipe Baby is at Williams with Rob Smedley. That's his, the English brother he never had. JB, 126. Hulkenberg, 96. And his amigo Sergio completes the top 10 with 59 points. And I'm sure we have mentioned somewhere both Nico Hulkenberg and Sergio Perez have been reconfirmed at Force India. And in the constructor points, Mercedes 701, Red Bull 405, Williams 320, Ferrari 216, McLaren 181, Sauber and Caterham did not score any points, and Marussia's only points came in Monte Carlo, courtesy of Jules Bianchi. And talking of Jules Bianchi, he has now been transported from Japan to his home near Marseille, and obviously in intensive care, and, you know, they're trying to help him out. And like everybody else, we hope and wish there is a miracle out there in the near future for him and his family.
Absolutely. Keep up the good work, Nasser. So there you have it. Lewis Hamilton is world champion. Nasser Hamid is happy about this world champion. That's pretty much all that counts.
Thank you, sir.
I know. So it'll be interesting when we do finally get some kind of decision out of McLaren.
Yeah. And, you know, we also had a Formula E race in Putrajaya, Malassi. And Nick Heidfeld was taken out in the opening round by a French driver called Nicolas Prost. This time it was another Francais, Franck Montagny. And Nick Heidfeld is calling Montagny now crazy.
He did call him crazy. And I think Nick Heidfeld just sold his vacation home in Grenoble.
Yeah.
He couldn't take it anymore.
Yeah, so he's gone back to Berlin.
I know. But what can you do? At least he's happy. That's the important thing. So, there you go. Any good news, any Motorsports Mondial updates?
Well, you know, your competitors in the Monte Carlo rally will be lobed. Your hero, Sebastian Loeb, will be going back to Monte Carlo with Citroën. You probably knew that already.
Of course I knew that. That was on the front page of the F1Weekly.com.
There you go. And, you know, this year he was in the World Touring Car Championship. But his teammate, our favorite Pachito, Jose Maria Lopez, won the World Touring Car Championship. And, you know, he took his championship at a race in Japan. And it touched me. You know, he says, for me to win the championship where my hero, Ayrton Senna, won his championship, that was kind of a nice Latin touch, you know.
I thought it was very exciting. And, of course, we have to talk about the driver that F1 Weekly has followed for many years, the driver that shares the same birthday as moi.
Wow, that could be Fernando Alonso. Oh.
No, it's Rubinho.
Really?
Yes, Rubinho and I share the same birthday. We are brethren.
You know who else shares a birthday with Rubinho?
Who?
His papito.
His papito?
Yeah.
Wow.
And that's something you learn from the Samba and Tango calendar.
Yeah, which I don't have.
Your check bounced, Clark.
Apparently so, yes. Well, you know, that F1 Weekly checkbook, you know, you put any kind of digit except for a zero, and it's not going to work.
You have to move your bank account from Lincoln Savings to Barclays.
You know, I love Barclays.
Yeah, I'm sure they're Premier League, you know.
They are Premier League. So there you have it. I mean, exciting stuff. I was happy for Rubinho winning the world championship.
No, it's the Brazilian championship, stock car championship.
Whatever.
Yes.
You know, it makes him happy. He's going to get, you know, he's finally got something. So, no, I thought it was very exciting. And, you know, that's a pretty impressive series down in Brazil. Lots of sponsors. I like the cars, the way they look. So
very competitive, that's for sure.
It's very competitive, and Rubinho took it. Of course, there's no coverage in this country on the Brazilian stock cars. But if you go to stockcars.br, there you have it.
Yeah, and there's also this network on the TV, Torque TV, I believe it's called. You can see a lot of international motorsport events.
Fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. So how's the calendar? Are people ordering?
Yes, people are ordering, and we're shipping them as soon as we can, and people are loving it. I appreciate that very much. And, of course, the theme is Samba and Tango, a tribute to, or as we call it, the Latin beat of Formula Uno. We have people like Carlos Reutemann, of course, the obvious, Fittipaldi, Senna, Piquet, Fangio. But we have both the Rodriguez brothers there, Pedro and Ricardo. And your favorite, Pastor, is also there. And so is Monty, Juan Pablo Montoya. So it's a good selection. So is Jose Froline Gonzalez.
What about Fernando?
No, Fernando will be on the Paella and Tango edition.
Okay. But no, no, it's a great calendar. I think everybody should always buy two. That way you can give one to your friend.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so excellent. I'm glad F1 Weekly fans are ordering the calendar now. I think it's time for 50 words. And 50 words was getting a little light. You know, people, you know, were bored with me and my ranting about Fernando and the scripted race. As a matter of fact, I got a little digital sling and arrow on Facebook.
Finally.
Yeah, and he ripped me apart.
Wow.
I know. But
shocking.
I know. Absolutely shocking. But it felt good. You know, sometimes you got to get in that cold water every once in a while to refresh yourself.
Let's hear it, Clark.
Okay, from Jackson. Glad to see Lewis take the win for the championship, but wish Nico could have given more fight. What a great result for Williams. Kaysen. In the end, so easy for LCH. Massa had thoughts of P1, but another case of so near yet so far brings back memories of Brazil 2008. Meantime, a Renault engine took advantage of the dark to give us the most spectacular blow-up of the year. See, these night races do have their plus points. Neon Zapper says, Abu Dhabi delivered midfield action. Driving skill, and mechanical problems. In all, 2014 was a splendid Formula One season, packed with exciting races and F1 Weekly podcasts. Dr. Mark F., a decent race by Abu Dhabi standards. Well done, Williams. The right result at the front, but the unreliability of Nico's car was unfortunate. He was gracious in defeat, which made up for a couple of integrity failures earlier in the year. Miguel. In the end, the championship fight was decided by a toss of the gremlin coin and prayers at the DNF chapel. Better than double points. Sportsmanship and stiff upper lips all around in mildly boring, mildly entertaining race. Leon Bray. Typical Abu Dhabi race. Still looks like a slot car track. LCH takes the win and the championship. Although there weren't much competition, Dan gets from the pit lane to fourth, and the TV misses most of the overtakes. Best kablamo of the year and probably the most exciting part of the race, apart from Vettel and Alonso. Rathump. Congratulations to Lewis and Mercedes. Great season. Decent race, albeit with tire strategy playing a part. Well done, Williams and Daniel Ricciardo. Left turn. A well-deserved victory and championship for Lewis Hamilton. Great show by Williams and Massa. Shame that Nico's lump got mucked up, but in the end it changed nothing in the championship standings, luckily. F1 narrowly avoided the disaster that could have been had it been Lewis's car that failed. Chemix. In the end, it was decided after the first corner, but I think the best driver won in the end. It was a shame we didn't have a fight to the flag. Yay! Jensen drove a brilliant race. And Louis says, much deserved championship for Lewis Hamilton. Again, he showed his fast race pace, and although he made mistakes in qualifying, he won in style. Nico showed to be a great sportsman by finishing the race, driving a limping Merc, and congratulating Lewis behind the podium. Fine season. There you have it. And I agree. Nico Rosberg was very gracious, the congratulatory, loving embrace, the kissing, the loving. Yeah, he had a lot of boot licking to do. So, there you go. Fascinating. 2014 is over. But we will continue with the podcast into the sunset, Nasser.
Yes, sir. It was a fantastic race. It was a fantastic season. very sad to see what happened in Suzuka. And we wish everybody all the best and look forward to a fantastic 2015 season. Any prediction for 2015,
Mr.? Absolutely. Fernando wins out of the box. McLaren, Honda, awe everybody. And Toto Wolff, you know, he's got Susie. He doesn't care anymore.
Yeah, Susie, talking of Susie, she's now the official, you know, reserve driver for Williams. Wow.
Absolutely. It's official.
Yeah.
I don't know if Toto has anything to do with that, but I know he's a shareholder.
Yeah, you know, when you have good looks and lots of pesetas and shekels and quetzals in your goodie bag.
Deutschmarks, my friend.
Yes, Deutschmarks are dollars. American Express will do nicely. Thank you.
Absolutely. I also want to say congratulations to Anthony Davidson for winning the World Endurance Championship. I thought that was very exciting for him. We're very, very happy. It made him reflect on his years at Super Aguri.
Yes. Remember?
Wasn't that exciting?
That was very exciting, and this was good for Toyota to win the championship. And he is one of four British drivers who is on the cover of today's Autosport. You know, Julian Palmer won the GP2 championship. Alex Lynn won the GP3 championship. He's a Red Bull driver and could be a big name in the near future.
So, yeah, with all these British drivers winning everything, Autosport is going to be a wonderful place to be for a long time.
No, Autosport, man, I've been reading this magazine since the early 70s and also Motorsport. I mean, if you read these two magazines, you have a pretty good idea what's happening, what has happened in the world of motor racing, where cars are turning right and left.
Well, all I know is I see pictures of Lewis Hamilton. I see pictures of Vettel. I see pictures of Nico Rosberg, of Niki Lauda, of Hamilton. Go through this week's Autosport. There's not one picture of Fernando.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
In which series did Kimi Raikkonen race this year?
It's called the Finlandia series.
That is sad, sad scene.
I know. But, you know, that's where we got burned. We were supposed to get infighting, conspiracies, you know, fighting at the front, both Ferraris, banging wheels. We're supposed to get Dijon Prenois every month, and we got nothing.
Yeah, you know, when he came to Ferrari, just like Nando and Arnaud, he won first time out, and he was like 26 points down, three races to go, something like that. But boy, he just, you know, did nothing, no talking, but driving and won the championship. And since then, wow, what a water slide, huh?
Yeah, well, when Fernando's your teammate, things can happen.
Yes.
Especially if you're sleeping. See, now if you're awake and active like LCH was with Fernando, you know, there's going to be some good battling. But, you know, when you're sleepy and Fernando's your teammate, it's going to be all Fernando.
Yeah.
And I guarantee it's going to be all Vettel next year.
You know, I'm looking at some of these few photos I've seen of Sebastian Vettel in a red dress driving for a red car or driving a red car. This guy means business. If you give him a package, he's going to deliver, no question about it.
Oh, there's no doubt. He's a little too white for that red suit. He needs to go out and get a tan.
Well, Michael Schumacher was same way.
I know, but Michael Schumacher had a tan. He was skiing. When you ski, there's sea, there's sun, and you get a tan. I'm telling you, he needs a tan to fit that suit.
Yeah,
only Kimi Raikkonen can pull off the pale face.
Yeah.
So that's just my passion.
One good thing about Kimi, you know, he's all business of motor racing. There's no politics. There's no infighting. This guy comes in, drives the car, and goes home. And I remember when he won the first race for Ferrari in Australia, he had gone a little bit off track or something had happened, and they asked him what happened there. He goes, oh, I was looking at a TV screen.
Yeah, no, very exciting, I know. Quickly, another question. Ford quitting the Super V8s. Were you surprised?
No, but because, you know, it happened very quickly. General Motors announced that they were going to stop production of cars in Australia. Then I'm not sure who announced first, but, you know, both the U.S. makers are pulling out of the Australian auto manufacturing. And then it did not surprise me. And, that's just, nothing is forever, you know.
I know, but still, they had been manufacturing automobiles in Australia for many, many years.
Yeah, when I was a kid in Karachi, we used to get Australian-made GM cars, Holden, and, some other products.
Right, but now in Karachi, I think it's just Toyotas, right?
Toyotas, Hondas, and Suzukis.
And 50 calibers.
Oh, yes, and,
Sorry.
As they say on the local Toyota truck ads, AK-47 sold separately.
That's a beautiful thing. And that's why the glove box is so much longer in the Karachi model.
Exactly.
Thank you very much. Well, Nasser, it's been a great season. Of course, we'll talk about more stuff that's going on in motorsports as the year goes on. We'll have an end of the year 2014 review. And of course, I do want to remind everybody to order a calendar. The whole system at the Palatial Studios depends on that house of cards or house of calendars.
Yes, and we should do the review before the year is out. What say you?
That's a good idea.
Because in January, we're going to have Monte Carlo, we're going to have Dakar, and we're going to be excited, and preseason and testing will be there.
Yes, and then, of course, anything new in NASCAR?
Everything is new in NASCAR.
Really? Dale Earnhardt?
Dale Earnhardt Jr., Danica Patrick.
Who won the championship?
Oh, no, Matt Kenseth, Kevin Harvick, one of those guys.
Okay. I thought it might be Greg Biffle, but...
No.
Okay, well, there you have it, Ness. I want to thank everybody who ordered calendars.
Same here.
And I want to thank everybody who listens to the program. Good night.
Bye-bye. Thank you.